Echoes of Eden by Paul Wallace. What secrets of human potential lie hidden in the world's ancestral narratives? How are they connected with God, the Bible, and ET contact? From U.S. Senate briefings to ancient African ceremonies, from strange phenomena in Australia and Iraq to anomalies in Brazil and ancient Greece, the Eden series takes you around the world to discover why governments, military, and intelligence are interested in archaeology and initiation practices, and why you should be too. And what are the implications for you and me? To buy Echoes of Eden, The Scars of Eden, and Escaping from Eden, go to Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. Echoes of Eden is endorsed by George Noory. Paul has done it again with his Eden series, delving deep into the power of the mind to do incredible things. What can suddenly burn a person to a pile of powder, yet allow nearby combustibles, even clothing, to escape damage? Spontaneous human combustion can. An enigma so bizarre and frightening. Spontaneous human combustion remains hotly denied by mainstream fire science and modern medicine. In his groundbreaking book, Ablaze, The Mysterious Fires of Spontaneous Human Combustion, Larry E. Arnold explores the high strangeness of this fascinating mystery and challenges, with meticulous research, the popular consensus that spontaneous human combustion is crackpottery and myth to be debunked. Read Ablaze, The Mysterious Fires of Spontaneous Human Combustion by Larry E. Arnold. Available now on Amazon. Did you know Night Dreams Talk Radio now has a great store? And now's the time to get that Night Dreamer, that cool Night Dreams tea, or Bigfoot mug. Night Dream Store has lots of awesome items to pick from, all for the Night Dreamer. For details, check out our show's website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet I ask you, is not an alien force already among us?
Night Dreams brings on the night worldwide. Did you know you can find us on your favorite app? And now you can watch us live on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to our channel and give us a thumbs up. And now, here's Gary.
And here I am. Well, I hope everybody's had a great day. Well, the weekend is just hours away. And believe me, after this week, I need this weekend. Well, in the news, I tell you, it is getting more bizarre. Putin got onto national TV, or I should say his national TV, and it seems like hackers got into it and cut him off at the beginning of his speech to his people. Yeah, what do you think about that one, James?
Well, I was wondering when something like that was going to happen. I kind of touched on it the other day, but maybe that's a sign of things to come. Maybe he's not good TV in Russia. I don't know, but he's always got something to say. So, Lord, I'm just waiting for the more comments to drop from him.
He fired this week a couple hundred of his, well, inner circle, because he is really scared of what maybe could happen. In Russia, the main thing of getting rid of somebody is poison. Of, you know, any place in the world is noted for using poison to get rid of people. That is Russia. Now he has people sampling his food before he eats it.
How would you like to have that job, Gary? Not me, but you know, he's obviously a little bit paranoid from the sounds of it. To have people, you know, test his food, hire new guards, 300 of them. What's next, Gary?
Well,
what's
it's next? Inner circle. He got rid of everybody. All his personal staff is out. He brought in all new people because he doesn't trust anybody anymore. Well, maybe he sleeps too long in his little palace, or huge palace, actually, which he denies he has, but he has. He likes sleeping to noon, and then he gets up at noon and then spends 2 hours swimming, and then he goes to the government office.
Yeah, I read something about that. Boy, what a life. And then he goes there and then he threatens people and invades countries and just, it's amazing the stuff that people can do nowadays. But how long is this going to go on for, Gary?
I have no idea. I don't even want to touch it. At this point, I never thought we would go into a very cold war. You know, I grew up in a cold war. Now we're in a cold war that's like it's never been done before. Well, in South Carolina, you have a new way to be executed. You don't have to worry about the electric chair or having, well, the chemicals pumped into you to terminate your life or maybe your life of crime. Now they bring out the firing squad, so you have that choice.
Wow, what a choice. Can you imagine that, you know, yeah, no, I'll take the firing squad, but I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to take the firing squad or not. That's a tough decision to make. Would you take the firing squad, Gary?
No, I wouldn't go up in an airplane and jump out. At least I can yeah. have a scenic view before I go. Facebook is now locking people out who didn't activate the new feature of Facebook Protect. Now people are complaining once they've been locked out, they can no longer get back in. So everybody, you might want to check on Facebook. They also said that they sent out emails to people. So that's going to be interesting. Well, you know what? They talked about an asteroid was worth trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Well, James, I think we need to go to the Cape. We need to go and steal a rocket. And we need to go to Mercury. Why should we go to Mars? You know, if we go to Mercury, it's all covered with diamonds.
That is amazing. I seen that story. Can you imagine? That's a lot of diamonds. Yeah, that's another thing. I've seen this scenario where maybe in the future we're going to mine these, you know, other planets or asteroids or whatever. But that is mind-boggling, the diamonds. Of course, diamonds there is like, you know, just regular dirt here, which is amazing.
I know. Isn't that interesting? Well, guess what? The government is going to release classified documents about UFOs and ETs to the public. Now, this article says that they're not saying when, but soon they're going to release some more information about UFOs, and it includes ETs. So that's going to be interesting. Also in the news, a time traveler from the year 2236 claims a dead celebrity is going to come back to life in September.
Wow. I love these predictions from these time travelers. There's three or four of them out there that's putting these out there, and they even give dates, some of them. But I'll tell you, that'd be a major feat to have an actor come back to life. Boy, it's too bad he didn't say who it was.
No, well, if he said who it was, I mean, you know, come on. But who's going to come back from the grave? That isn't going to happen, you know, unless we're not real. We're a computer program running, or we're in the hologram. Well, a comet. People are worried about asteroids hitting the Earth, which, you know, one did hit last week. And it was equivalent to 2,000 tons of TNT. But, yeah, we don't have to worry about that. Now, there's a comet coming our way, which is 16 miles wide. Now, it's coming towards Earth. Now, the one it wiped out, supposedly the dinosaurs, was only approximately 8 miles wide.
Oh, boy. 16 mile. Yeah, I was thinking about that today because I read that, but I didn't see how fast it was going. But it doesn't matter at 16 miles wide. Just the kinetic energy that thing is producing, Gary, that thing could hit, and that's a planet killer. There's no doubt about that. But I'm thinking it might not even have to hit the planet directly and be do a lot of killing.
Yeah, it would do something. And again, there's another article about where it's just a matter of time, and the grid system is going to go down. As you know, this week and last week, we've been hit with a lot of solar flares, more than normal. And for some reason, the Earth is perfectly lined up with the sun, and these shots are coming towards the Earth. And we've been lucky, because if they would be a little bit hotter, they would take out our internet, it would take out our power, And boy, the only way we're going to live is if we have some Russian rubles, because, I mean, you know, you're not going to go to the ATM and get any money. You're not going to be able to go on the internet. I mean, you know, James, what would you do? You wouldn't be able to watch TV. Your life would be gone.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you one thing. At least I'm stocked up for it, so I have plenty of water and food. But you're right. These shots are coming, and this was predicted last week that it's going to be toward this weekend, when here we are. So hopefully we don't get any of this too bad. It shuts things down, the satellites, your cars, your banking system, all of it. You know, and another thing, hopefully it doesn't go out, because we do have a guest coming on in April who's going to talk. He specializes in what to do when the grid goes down.
Yeah, I know what we do. We say, oh, boy. Well, also, last story here for tonight. Bears. A bear broke into a house in Idaho. The people were out for dinner. They came home. And you know that little story about the three bears? Well, it was only one bear. But they got into the refrigerator. Evidently, there was some beer. And the bear passed out in the master bedroom. When they found out about that is then when they go, God, somebody broke into our house and had a beer fest. And then they went to go to bed after they cleaned up the mess. And guess who was snoring? The bear.
That is amazing. Gary, you know, over the last 4 years, how many stories? That's not a one of. There's so many of them that we've come across. These, I call them beer bears. They just invade your house, drink your beer, and I could just see it now. The poor family, they're going to bed. Oh, there's no, this bed's fine. This bed's, oh, there's a bear snoring in my bed, a drunken bear. Can you imagine going to your bedroom, there's a drunken bear in your bed? How do you remove that?
I don't know, but I wouldn't want to be in that bedroom when it wakes up. I can tell you that with a hangover. But could you imagine how loud a bear would snore? My German Shepherd, you know, crawls into our bed at night. And, you know, I got mad at my wife the other day and slapped her in the butt and said, hey, will you stop snoring? And she goes, no, it's not me, it's your dog.
Oh, my goodness. You're allowed to get bit there, buddy, by a couple of different ways.
Yeah, I wish at my age. Anyway, we'll be back. We got a great guest tonight, Tobias Whalen, on. We're going to talk about Mothman, monsters, and all that stuff. So we'll be back right after this, so stay tuned.
Meet the Totally Ninja Raccoons. Three raccoons who become ninjas because they already have the masks. The Totally Ninja Raccoons books are short adventures with quick chapters, specially structured to encourage reluctant readers. Each book has the Totally Ninja Raccoons encountering a cryptid. The monsters are presented in a fun, not so scary way.
I said not so scary!
Readers are encouraged to do their own research and make up their own minds about the possible existence of Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, aliens, and more. The Totally Ninja Raccoons are available on Amazon or at your favorite bookstore. You can buy autographed copies direct from the author at kevincoolidge.org. That's kevincoolidge.org for the Totally Ninja Raccoons.
Hi, this is Val Von Torn of Metatron Power and Light. You're listening to Gary Anderson and Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, Val. I really appreciate the plug. By the way, a plug to Metatron Power and Light. They're coming out with a great new song next week. We'll be playing it for some bumper music. Ah, what can I say? Well, James, what can you tell the listeners about Tobias?
Well, our guest tonight is Tobias Whalen, and he has been actively investigating the unusual for decades. Now, Tobias has appeared on many documentaries, TV documentaries, and he's authored many great books, all discussing many strange and paranormal things, from cryptids to Mothman and much more.
Well, Tobias, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've been staying out of trouble?
Yeah, as best as I can. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's starting to actually feel like spring a little bit here in Wisconsin. So, you know, we're all getting ready to end our yearly hibernation and get back out into the world. So if I'm going to find trouble, It's probably going to be coming up here pretty soon now that I can go outside again.
Yeah, and you can go out and look for Mothman, Bigfoot, and who knows what else is out in the woods. I got to ask you a question, and this is a question I've never asked you all the times you've been on the show in the past. How old were you when you got interested in monsters?
Boy, that is a good question. You know, I, as far back as I can remember, I have had anomalous experiences in my life. You know, some of my earliest memories were of being terrified to go to bed at night because I knew when I did, something might come for me, you know? And I'm talking very early memories, like 2-3 years old. And from there, you know, I continued to experience strange things throughout my life. So, you know, when I talk about strange things, I'm talking about like nighttime visitation, waking up to the feeling of something, you know, like digging its hands into my ribs or feeling like I'm being lifted, seeing shadow people, you know, having these strange sorts of visitation events. Probably one of the oddest, I think, was now this would have been all the way in my early 20s. So fast forward from being a little kid, you know, seeing monsters at night and being terrified to go to bed, to I'm in my early 20s, and I was living with my parents at the time, sort of, you know, in that indecisive point in my youth where I was figuring out exactly what I was going to do. And I went to bed normally one night, and I woke up very suddenly, and I couldn't figure out why. You know, there didn't really seem to be anything like any reason, like there's no loud noise or anything like that to wake me up. And I look around my room, and this is in the suburbs. And so there's some ambient light from outside, you know, filtering in through the windows. And so I'm able to make out everything in my room, and it's all basically where it's supposed to be. And I notice that something looks off about it, and it takes me a second, but I realize that what is unusual is my vantage point. And that's when I realize that I am floating several feet above my bed, and I look to my left directly, and I see this black figure. I couldn't make out any features. It just looked like a humanoid, man-shaped, really, you know, had the proportions of a man, solid black, standing to my left. And I have the distinct impression that I'm not supposed to be awake for this. You know, it was a very awkward moment. And this thing, whatever it was, it reaches out its hand as though it was trying to comfort me. That's how I interpreted it. I don't know if that was its actual intention, but it reaches its hand out and places it on my chest, and I'm lowered back down to my bed, and then it just vanishes. And it was one of the weirdest experiences of my life. You know, there was no paralyzation or anything like that. You know, I was capable of movement the entire time. You know, now naturally while I'm floating above my bed, I didn't think it was a very good idea to move. So other than moving my head around to look around, I didn't do much of that. But yeah, I mean, and that's sort of, I think, representative, really, of the kinds of just baffling experiences, you know, I've had throughout my life, you know, even as a little kid. Now, memory is a funny thing. And so it's difficult for me to point to a lot of distinct experiences from when I was a little kid, you know, because I'm almost 43 now. And while, you know, I have a pretty decent memory, I like to think I'm relatively sharp. You know, a lot of it is really just feelings and remembering how I felt at that time. You know, for instance, ever since I was a little kid, in my bedroom that I grew up in, I had this irrational fear of the window that was facing the foot of my bed. And I just, I just knew that something was going to come in through that window and get me, you know, or I would have these visions of like floating heads, you know, but they would be of traditional grays, right? So you think of like the cover of Communion, like that kind of gray.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then all of that combined with, you know, the actual physical sensation of being awoken by something, you know, feeling like it's digging underneath me to pick me up, or, you know, just digging kind of painfully into my ribs. Or I would, you know, when I was a kid, I would sleep with the blanket over my head because I'm terrified, you know, to go to bed. And I remember, and this is something that I can specifically remember. I mean, most of the things I'm mentioning, obviously, I can specifically remember. But this is something I can picture it perfectly in my head, being under these covers and seeing what looked like hands sort of pressing in from the outside of these covers. And some of these are snippets of memories, because whatever happened right after them, I don't have any memory of, you know. So it would be seeing these hands, and then, you know, next thing I know, it's morning, you know, or seeing these weird floating heads, and that's the last thing I remember, you know, of that night. So I guess what happened after that is anybody's guess. But, you know, considering the event from my early 20s, you know, that might be some kind of clue, you know. But these events have continued throughout my life. You know, they still happen today. I can give you an example. At our old apartment, now Emily and I have since bought a house, but this was only a couple of years ago, because, you know, we bought our house pretty recently. And we were lying in bed one night, and Emily was talking in her sleep, and she was talking loud enough that it actually woke me up. So I'm woken up by her talking in her sleep, which is relatively common for her, frankly. And I look over, you know, and I say, "Hey, sweetheart, is everything okay?" And I very quickly realize, because it's real obvious, I very quickly realized that she was just talking in her sleep. And so, you know, I was like, "Oh, okay, whatever. You're talking in your sleep. No big deal. I'm going to go back to sleep myself." And so I roll over onto my stomach, and my head is facing to my left, and I can see the wall and like my nightstand there and everything. And as I'm lying there, I see this hand. It looks like this sort of black scaly hand reach around the side of my head, like sort of from, you know, if I'm lying on my stomach, it's sort of coming from like behind me, but then over, and it enters my field of vision. And when that happens, I feel these other hands like dig into my sides and sort of reach under me like they're going to pick me up, like that old familiar feeling from back when I was just a little kid, right? And I feel these hands. And when I do, I mean, I freak out, you know, I wasn't having it. And so I start slapping at these hands. And as I do, I can feel them, like my hands that are flailing, you know, trying to ward off whatever it is that I can feel trying to pick me up. They're connecting with these hands. And when I do that, after this, you know, didn't take very long, maybe a second, 2 seconds of slapping these hands away, they just vanish, you know. And so it's been difficult for me to sort of reconcile some of these experiences, because, you know, I think a lot of, you know, skeptical debunker types would want to say something like sleep paralysis, you know. But it doesn't make sense. You know, first of all, I clearly wasn't paralyzed. Second of all, I was awake. And so the idea that it could have been a dream or some kind of dreamlike state, that's a difficult pill for me to swallow. Believe me, I would love to have that as an excuse, you know, as some sort of explanation. But I've never been able to find any, you know. And And the experiences don't really fit very neatly in a box. You know, I think if you're really into UFOs, you might say, oh, well, you know, you could be an alien abductee. If you're really into ghosts, you might say, oh, you've got a spirit attachment that follows you around, or you grew up in a haunted house or something. You know, but none of them really fit exactly, which I think has influenced sort of the way I investigate things and the sources that I choose for my research.
Well, Tobias, if that was happening to me, besides peeing the bed, I'll be honest with you. I'm 70 years old, and if I hear something creepy, you know, outside our bedroom window when I'm in bed at night, ever since I was a little kid, when I got scared, I did one thing. No, I didn't run away. I pulled the blanket over my head. I still do. Yeah. I still do. My wife will look at me and goes, what is your problem? I don't know. I don't think pulling the blanket over my head is going to protect me from whatever is out there making that noise, but at least I won't see it.
Yeah, well, I honestly think you hit the nail on the head there. And some people, you know, might snicker at that. Now, I don't pull the blankets over my head like I used to when I was a kid, but I very much understand the drive to not want to see whatever it is, you know. For me, I think that humans are very adaptable. I think we can get used to almost anything, you know. And so by the time I had the experience in my early 20s,
okay, Tobias,
I was surprised.
Okay, Tobias, we need to take this break. We'll be back Tobias Whalen, and when we come back, we can go into the rest of the story. But if you're in your bed at night and you're half awake and you're watching a movie and you drop your cell phone and the lights are off, now do you reach underneath your bed and grab it, or do you go turn the light on? We'll find that out when we get back with Tobias Whalen. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Manifesting, Using Thought Forms to Visualize Real Change, is a new book by Von Breschler. Von has appeared on Night Dreams with Gary to discuss his book, Time Shifts. His new book, Manifesting, is a practical look at developing human consciousness with focused intent to accurately project thought power with impact. It's based on ancient wisdom tradition in Raja Yoga, with the magic of advanced consciousness yoga, with exercises extracted from ancient sutras. Like Time Shifts, Manifesting is now available in bookstores or online at Amazon or the Barnes & Noble website. A companion book to Manifesting is a February 2021 release titled Mysterious Messages from Beyond. It examines thought forms that we receive from unseen messengers, from ghosts to distant friends to spirit guides. Read Manifesting, Messages from Beyond, and Time Shifts by Von Breschler. Talk Radio After Dark wants to give a big shout out to all the truckers that listen to our show. Do you remember? remember how great paranormal talk radio was in the 80s and 90s? Night Dreams Talk Radio brings back to you talk radio like you remember, with your host, Gary Anderson, broadcasting to you live from his secret compound deep in the great Northwest. Now, here's Gary.
And here I am. Well, Tobias, my question is, if you drop your cell phone or anything on the floor in the dark, will you reach underneath that bed to pick it up in the dark?
You know, I don't have to worry about it. And the reason being is that I've got one of those beds where basically the frame goes all the way down to the floor because it has drawers in it where I can store things. So I'm pretty safe there. But if I drop something like that, you know, and it's completely dark, I would. You know, like I said, I guess I'm not willing to sort of live my life in fear of you know, jump scares and stuff, because I've kind of made my peace with these phenomena. Insofar as, look, if I was going to be hurt, if whatever these things were, if they were going to hurt me, I'd be hurt, right? Like I would have been hurt by now. And so I think whatever these things are, they do what they do, and they do it for their own reasons. And they don't necessarily do it with us in mind. And so it can be very startling, but I don't know that it should necessarily be considered scary just because, you know, I'm not being hurt. Nobody with whom I have spoken, you know, and I've talked to dozens and dozens and dozens of witnesses over the years, and none of them have been physically harmed. And really the only cases of physical harm, you know, outside of real extreme things like, you know, possession and things like that, involve people encountering like physical craft, like UFOs, and getting, you know, radiation burns and things like that. You know, so it's not something that that I spend a lot of time you know, worrying about. Now, I'll tell you this though. There are definitely times where I'll walk into a dark room and the hair on the back of my neck will stand up, and I kind of brace myself and I'll mutter under my breath, you know, just leave me alone, you know, and go turn the light on as fast as I can, because I don't like being startled any more than anybody else does, you know, but otherwise, you know, I'm pretty much okay with it, in that I can just go about my day-to-day life and not have it hang like a dark cloud over my head.
Well, you know, Whitney Strieber, you mentioned his book, and his life has been upside down ever since his first encounter with what happened, and it has totally messed up his life. And I don't know if he's being, you know, by demons or ghosts or ETs, I don't know. But I can tell you, you know, again, something is going on, and that's the part that scares me, because I don't know what's going on. You know, I've interviewed so many people now going on 49 years, and I hear these stories, you know, like, oh, hey, dogmen, Bigfoot, they don't bother people. But then again, you Christopher George, who's been on our show numerous times, and I mentioned him yesterday, matter of fact, he was a law enforcement park ranger and not one of the ones that collect money. And has seen so many weird, scary things that happen deep in the woods. Something is going on. I mean, and maybe it's the people that we don't hear about one way or the other, if you know what I mean, that maybe had a bad encounter with something.
Sure. You know, I think as far as Whitley is concerned, you know, just from an outsider's perspective, you know, as somebody who grew up reading his work and enjoying his work is concerned, and seeing him, you know, in media, it always seemed to me like whatever he was encountering. Now, it certainly had a huge effect on his life, but I would almost say that what was worse was the way he was treated in the media. You know, there was a lot of jokes had at his expense, you know, as a guy who was willing to put himself out there and advocate for experiencers of this phenomenon, like speaking specifically of the abduction phenomenon, and the media made fun of him and tore him to shreds. And I think that probably had as much as anything to do with his life, you know, being turned upside down. Because reading his work, you know, it always seemed like he got to sort of the same place as I have, although, you know, decades ago, because he's older than I am, where, you know, you do just sort of make your peace with it at a certain point. And at a certain point, you're curious about what's going on with it. Now, you do make a good point, I think, when you mention specifically things happening out in the woods, you know. And so there's this constant argument, right, in cryptozoology about how much of the paranormal should be included in discussions of things like Bigfoot and Dogman and everything else. Now, if you think of Bigfoot or Dogman as undiscovered biological species, right? I mean, that to me almost seems more dangerous, because, you know, wild animals are dangerous. They certainly are. You know, like, we have bears and wolves and things in Wisconsin, and generally speaking, they will leave you alone. But, you know, if you're out defenseless in the woods and there's a pack of hungry wolves, that's a different story. That's a little different than, you know, a wolf wandering through your yard one day. And well, so the idea that people might be attacked by something when they are, you know, sort of out of their element and vulnerable, you know, I think that is legitimate. I think that's a fair concern. And you're right. If people were disappearing, as they do in national parks, and we don't always know why, and if that was the reason, it's not like they could tell us. I guess you have to wonder.
Well, you know, again, you know, a lot of people think that these Bigfoot give off orbs, telecommunicate, love one another, love humans. But take your dog. Let's say you have a German Shepherd like we have, and we got two Great Danes. You take them out in the woods, they run away, and somehow they meet up with another pack of wild dogs. Within a couple months, that dog is not going to be that loving dog that you had all those years. It's going to be aggressive, and if it sees you, and it's hungry, it's got one thing in its mind. And a lot of people don't realize that. And cats, the same way. You can have your cat, it loves you. But, you know, there's been so many stories about people who had cats, they pass on, and within a couple of days of them passing on, somebody, like a relative, comes to their house or apartment, opens up the door, and the owner of the cats is half eaten. It's scary. Sure. It brings out the wildness. So I just can't believe that, you know, some of these creatures out there are, you know, loving and sending orbs. That's just my gut feeling.
Sure. You know, honestly, though, I will say this. In the defense of cats, humans do that too. You know, how many stories are, and I know this is gross, but how many stories are there of people trapped, you know, as in an accident, you know, think the Donner Party, where they don't really have much of a choice, and so they will commit acts of cannibalism, and it's horrific. But, you know, often it's people doing what they have to do to survive. And I think, you know, with cats specifically, they got to eat something, or they're going to starve to death. And so, yeah, it's gross and it's disturbing, but I kind of get it. You know, and what's interesting about, you know, you talk about orbs and telepathic communication and stuff with Bigfoot. And we get a lot of reports of that. You know, there's a pretty active sighting area that's relatively near to us. It's the Kettle Moraine State Forest, and it's a huge forest in Wisconsin here. And you know, people see or report, you know, Bigfoot and Dogman sightings in this area with some regularity, right? It's pretty frequent. And also in that area, and I've seen these with my own eyes, are glowing orbs, you know. And I don't mean, you know, dust or insects caught on a camera. I mean seeing it with the naked eye, glowing anomalous balls of light. And you know, there's a correlation, at least, you know, in that these things exist in the same area as these other reports. But you know, I think people take a lot of liberties when, you know, they equate correlation to causation, and that's a fallacy. Like, we can't do that, you know, because correlation doesn't show causation. You know, you need more, and so they could be related, but at the end of the day, we don't really know. And if they are, we don't know why or how. And so, you know, I think that there are just a lot of narrative liberties taken, you know, with those phenomena that have led to a lot of speculation about the nature of certain cryptids like Bigfoot, when, you know, we really don't have a whole heck of a lot to go on. You know, certainly the vast majority of reported sightings don't involve Bigfoot being particularly aggressive, at least not in a dangerous way. You know, it seems pretty elusive. But again, like you mentioned before, I mean, those are the sightings that are reported. That's what we know about. We can't know the stuff that hasn't been reported. And if part of the reason that something wasn't reported is that the person who experienced it never got the chance to tell anybody their story, you know, because something happened to them, then who knows?
But here's another thing, though, Tobias, you got to look at it this way. You know, a lot of people that have claimed they saw Bigfoot, you know, there's a big difference. You know, if you're in an area where a lot of people, backpackers, go near a campground, maybe a mile or two away from it, maybe these creatures are kind of more familiar with humans. If you go way out somewhere, way out, and where you run into one of them, maybe they don't know what you are. They look at you as a threat, and they're going to protect their territory. If that means offing you, that's probably what is going to happen, because there has been so many, you know, things that have gone on those woods. I mean, they have found, like, rifles where a hunter disappeared. They find his cap, maybe some clothing, maybe a part of the skull, no other part of the body, because the woods, let's face it, reclaims a human body really fast. But they find the rifle, and it looks like somebody took that rifle and just bent it around a tree. And I don't know any humans that's strong enough to do that.
Sure. No, I think you make a good point there. And again, you know, that's I think that is coming from the you know, Bigfoot as an undiscovered biological species hypothesis, which is a perfectly valid hypothesis, you know, based on the information that we have available. And so, yeah, I think viewing you know, Bigfoot through that lens, yeah, I wouldn't argue that. Yeah, I think that it would certainly be possible that, you know, if you are, again, encountering this animal out in the middle of nowhere. So we're not talking about people who, you know, are, like you said, are on a popular hiking trail, or you know, see them in the walking through the backyard of their small town or something. But people really out in the middle of nowhere, where if you get hurt, then, you know, hopefully you've got a radio or something on you, because they're bringing you out with a chopper. If you're out there, I could definitely see the behavior being different. I mean, certainly, yeah, because of the reasons that you've mentioned, you know, and then also, you know, I think there is the possibility that, you know, people being out of their element might just be easier to, or really just act as better prey. You know, you've got people on a popular hiking trail or traveling in groups or something, and most wild animals aren't going to want to mess with them. It's just not worth it. There's easier things they can go after, you know, but you get one human out in the middle of nowhere, and you've got a wild animal that's hungry, then we probably start looking pretty good, I would guess.
Oh yeah, anything from mountain lions, cougars, you know, bears, all that type of stuff, and maybe even Bigfoot if you're in the wrong area at the wrong time. I don't know. Now, I got to ask you a question, too, about Mothman. It seems like I've been getting a lot of reports from people about Mothman all over the country. Not just, you know, where it originally started from, but I'm hearing it from Oregon. I'm hearing it from Texas, you know, Idaho, Montana. People are claiming they're seeing Mothman. What is going on?
Well, that's a great question, you know, and I wish I knew, frankly. I can tell you the vast majority of reports that I've been receiving and investigating, and this probably has more to do with the fact of, you know, where I live and in southern Wisconsin than anything else, have been around Lake Michigan, you know. So that's one of the Great Lakes, and sort of all of the states surrounding that, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, you know, we've got dozens and dozens. I mean, well over 100 reports from those states. But, you know, now you mentioned reports from other states, and certainly, you know, I've got those too. You know, Maryland, California, even up into Canada. You know, I've got at least a couple reports from Ontario and Missouri is one where, you know, I've got a couple of really interesting reports that came out of Cape Girardeau. So, and you know, it is odd, or I think actually it would be odd if we sort of accepted the narrative that the Mothman phenomenon, like that winged humanoid that people were reporting, you know, from 66 to 67 in that particular flap in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, if we were to accept the narrative that was a singular phenomenon that, you know, began in 66 and ended in 67, and that was just it, then I think you would look around and see these reports and go, well, what the heck is happening here? But, you know, if you dig a little deeper, you'll see. And, you know, I've got friends who are investigators out in the Ohio River Valley. You know, like Seth Breedlove, for instance, has done some great work with his documentary production company, Small Town Monsters, out there. And, you know, they've really dug into the history of winged humanoid reports in the Ohio River Valley, you know, of course, Point Pleasant is part of. And what they found, along with multiple other investigators who work in that area, is that the sightings, even there, even in West Virginia and Ohio, they never stopped. So, you know, 67 came and went, and, you know, John Keel needed a good narrative ending for his book. And so he used the Silver Bridge for that and said, well, okay, that must have been what it was all about. Here's a nice, tidy ending for the book. You know, great. But the sightings never actually stopped. They didn't stop in that area after the Silver Bridge collapsed even. So the events seem to be completely unrelated. Like there doesn't seem to be any actual solid connection there. And so if you kind of strip away the narrative that Keel created through the Mothman prophecies, which is an enormously entertaining book, but again, it really is him crafting a story. Like he's trying to make an entertaining story out of this series of events. And so he makes a lot of sort of tenuous connections that really just lead to a good story rather than, you know, in my opinion, you know, actually having a real tangential, you know, just real strong, you know, a correlation or connection to what happened. And so you take all of that away and you look at what people actually reported and the fact that it never ended. And I think suddenly seeing these reports come from kind of all over the country, it starts to make a lot more sense. You know, for instance, most people don't know about Mothman. Like, frankly, like most normal people, they've never heard of it. They don't know what it is. They're not familiar with the story in any way. Maybe they saw the movie, you know, that came out like 20 years ago, but probably not even that. And so what happens is they have one of these sightings. And they think that nobody else has seen anything like this ever. And they think if they tell people that people are going to think that they're insane. And so they don't. And prior to the internet, there really weren't very many ways for people to find out about these kinds of stories if they weren't already interested in weird stuff. So, yeah, if you're you or me, sure. Like you've heard about the Mothman, you heard about it pre-internet because you're already into weird stuff. So you probably were reading books about it already. But for people who weren't prior to the internet, there really wasn't any way for them to find out about this stuff unless it just so happened that somebody told them, you know, that this existed.
Well, you and know, so, I just want to say, you know, things have really, you know, it go in cycles, but, you know, lately, you know, the Bigfoot sightings, you know, the Mothman, Thunderbird sightings. I don't know. Maybe it's the climate change that is bringing more of these things known, where they are, you know, trying to, well, move to a better place because of the climate changes. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, again, I hear from truckers, they'll be driving late at night and like a Mothman will fly right next to him. Or a trucker gets into his cab late at night and right in front of his truck, there's a Mothman. You know, it seems to be, you know, picking up more than usual. And, you know, like one guy who told me he saw a Mothman, he said he kept quiet for a long time because he didn't want people to think he was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that time and time again. And I got to say, you know, the longer that that I do this and the more of these reports that I collect, you know, it's starting to be a fairly even distribution, I think, throughout time, you know. And so I don't know that there's anything in particular that's happening right now that is causing, you know, more sightings or stirring up more activity. But although it's possible, I don't know that there isn't. But one thing that I do know is that witnesses consistently tell me that the reason that they finally decided to talk about their experience is because they found out, usually through an article maybe I wrote, you know, online, that somebody else had seen something similar. And so, you know, I'll have people in their you know, 70s or 80s now come forward with sightings from the 50s. You know, I had our earliest sighting is from 1957 by a guy named Gerald who literally said, hey, I didn't know anybody else had ever seen anything like this until, you know, just recently. And I want to get this off my chest, you know, because I'm at the end of my life, and I figure, you know, I got to tell somebody. And we see more and more of those now, you know, because he's just a normal guy. He wasn't into this stuff, you know, and he would have had no reason to know anything about it until, you know, suddenly information is instantaneously available everywhere, you know, thanks to these miniature supercomputers we all carry around in our pockets all day. So, you know, that's certainly led to more sightings. You know, I will say this, like my research has led me to believe that some of the sightings that could be something like a misidentified bird, those probably are related to climate change. Like you look at Chicago, for instance, and you can see that, you know, the number of herons like that nest in the city has exploded over the past like 10 or 12 years. And that's directly due to the destruction of their normal wetland habitats. And it's also due to climate change, you know, making everything warmer. And so they come up north sooner and they stay up here longer. And sometimes they even overwinter. And so you've got all these people seeing these huge birds, like, you know, say a great blue heron or something. And they're enormous. You know, they've got a 7-foot wingspan. They look like pterodactyls. And you know, they'll see something like that they're not used to. And they might report it, you know, as a flying humanoid, because they kind of look humanoid when they fly. They've got those skinny legs sticking out behind them sometimes. And anyway, you know, that certainly doesn't account for anywhere near a majority of sightings. There are still plenty of weird ones, but it does explain a lot of the not very weird ones, where people will have a sighting in like the middle of the day, and there's none of the other weird paranormal phenomena that often accompanies these sightings, like the glowing red eyes or the penetrating stare, the feeling of having this thing gaze into your soul, and the irrational fear. Like, that's all missing from the you know, misidentified bird sightings. But I do think that that there is a causative relationship between climate change and the migratory patterns of these large birds that have probably led to some sightings.
I agree with you. Now, we need to take a break. This break's about 4.5 minutes long. We'll be back with Tobias Whalen. And when we come back, Tobias, why don't you tell us some stories that you've been told by people who have seen these creatures? So we'll be back with Tobias right after this. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Did you know Night Dreams Talk Radio can promote your product or service? And it will be heard by one of the largest audiences in paranormal talk radio. Contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com or go to our main webpage and use the contact box at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com.
No place to go. No one to talk to, nothing to do,
and nothing to do.
Just an aimless use of time. No intentions, no inventions, no intersections of inner feelings. Muted by myself, deaf as the walls. Nothing to say,
nothing to say,
nothing to fear,
nothing to fear,
nothing to hide,
nothing to hide,
nothing to show,
show,
just a nameless use of air,
just
a nameless use of air, just a nameless use of air. No intentions, no inventions, no intersections.
Ooh.
empty arms, no calls from you, no text too. I waited all evening and all night long to hear from you. Only one word,
only one word.
How happy now? As an aimless ease of air, just an aimless ease of air, just an aimless ease of air. No intentions, no invention, no intersection.
Night Dreams Talk Radio brings back Bumper Music Fridays from emerging new bands. If you'd like to have your band's music played as bumper music on Night Dreams Talk Radio, it must be an original piece of music you or your band wrote, and you must give us a release to use it on air. Contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com or go to our show's website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com and click on the message box. Take a journey of adventure and discovery for the enigmatic giants of the forests. Read On the Trail of Bigfoot by Mike Dupler. The author himself describes it this way.
Having found possible Sasquatch evidence, namely trees driven into the ground upside down, thought to be territory markers, led me to investigate this creature in my native Ohio. Several years and many forays into Bigfoot territory, I have found incredible evidence, which inspired my book, On the Trail of Bigfoot. Bigfoot is alive and has many fantastic abilities. The evidence is out there for all to see, but you need to know what to look for. My book will inspire those who have answered the call to seek this elusive creature, the Bigfoot. The truth is out there.
Read On the Trail of Bigfoot by Mike Dupler. Available now at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and IndieBound.org. Longtime UFO and Bigfoot researcher Stan Gordon is releasing his fourth casebook called Creepy Cryptids and Strange UFO Encounters of Pennsylvania. Included are many cases from across his decades of research, from Bigfoot to giant flying creatures, mini UFOs, aquatic beasts, to hairless, sickly-looking humanoids. Enjoy a journey into a realm that suggests that present-day sightings of monsters might be real, mystifying creatures, none of which are supposed to exist. Some cases include one of the creepiest crawling cryptids of all time. Was there an even stranger Mothman encounter near Pittsburgh in 1966? The small Bigfoot and the strange sphere of light. Tall, hairless humanoid with glowing yellow eyes that follows man to his house. Stan presents some startling cases that suggest that some of the unknown creatures being reported may be much stranger than just flesh and blood. Could some UFOs, and even some cryptids, possibly be visitors from another dimension? Order your copy now of Creepy Cryptids and Strange UFO Encounters of Pennsylvania. Stan's new book, as well as his other casebooks, are available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, or visit his website at www.stangordon.info. Digital Broadcasting Radio, like it should be. The best in paranormal talk radio with your host, Gary Anderson.
And that is me. Make sure you check out our website. It's been updated for the next week and a half. You can go on there, upcoming guests, and see some of the guests we have. We got Dr. Stephen Greer on Monday. We're going to talk about what's going on in ufology and the government and what is happening. We got a prepper on. It's a survivalist. It can tell us if something went south, what to do. We got great guests lined up. We actually have better guests than most of those shows do out there. And I don't claim to own the night. Nobody can own the night, only God. Anyway, we are back with Tobias. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Well,
thank you.
And how about some maybe scary stories of some people that, well, ran into one of these cryptics, and can you give us a couple of them?
Sure. Well, you know, there's no shortage. And You know, one of the ones that's been fresh on my mind lately is, you know, one that was actually passed on to me by Jesse Durdell over at the National Cryptid Society. And so he had given me some contact information for a couple of young women who live just over in Oregon, Wisconsin. So if for anybody not familiar, Oregon, Wisconsin, it's a small town just outside of Madison, which is the state's capital. But the thing about Madison is, you know, you hit the city limits and you're basically it's just farm fields and then you know, woods and everything. So, you know, like you, as soon as you're outside of Madison, you're in rural areas. And so they were driving around one evening. This actually would have been Thanksgiving of 2020. And, you know, I mean, I grew up in a small town. And and these young women at the time of this sighting, they were both 18, and I would say I didn't have much better to do than just drive around at night. And so we get stories or reports really from people, and sometimes they're just out cruising because they're younger and they don't have much else to do, and that's what these two young women were doing. And so they had this circuit around Oregon that they would drive, and. And they noticed as they were driving around, like they started to notice some unusual events. You know, they said that it looked like there were deer that were all sort of headed in one direction. That they, because it's not uncommon to see deer out here. You know, like we have a ton of them; they're everywhere. But they would see them moving. You know, so just in the same direction, and that is kind of weird, frankly. And then they started to notice that when they got to this certain spot, that their radio would glitch. And so they described it to me as the radio suddenly becoming very staticky, and it would start playing a different station at like the other end of the dial. So just very weird behavior for a radio. And as they're doing another one of these circuits, the driver anyway, she saw this possum in the road. And, you know, and so she slows down because she doesn't want to hit this thing. She's going to give it time to get out of the road. And when she does, they're at this intersection. And there are a few houses out here, but not very many because, you know, it's out in the country. But there is this street light. You know, it's at the top of this tall telephone pole, but it's there, and it illuminates the area okay, and they see swooping over in, the road there, you know, in the light of this street light as it sort of passes over it, what they described as this large winged humanoid, you know, this 7 foot tall. A flying creature, you know, with this huge wingspan, and it just flew across the road and sort of out of sight, you know, from where they were, and they were of course shocked. You know, they didn't know what to make of what they had just seen, and I think as younger people do, there was a certain amount of excitement to how they reacted to it. You know, like I remember being young enough to be excited in situations where I probably should have been really scared. And so, you know, like they were shocked. I think that they were somewhat afraid, but they were also a little excited to have seen something that bizarre. And so they decide, you know, they're driving this circuit and that they don't have anything else to do at this point. So they're going to continue driving. And eventually they're like, you know, let's just keep going, and we'll just do a few more loops and see if we see this thing again. And so they do. And as they were traveling past the same spot, the passenger, the woman sitting in the passenger side, she happens to be looking in this field. Now this field is very, very dark. I've been out there. I've seen it myself. it's like it's not lit up by anything. But she said that she was able to see this silhouette standing out there. And, you know, it was huge and shaped correctly for this thing, you know, or to fit the description of this thing sort of standing, you know, on the ground. And she said she saw these glowing red eyes, you know, and it was a wild story. You know, I talked to both of these young women myself. You know, this was during COVID, you know, on November of 2020. And so I wasn't able to meet up with them, but they did tell, you know, Emily and I exactly where this happened. And so, and they reported it right after it happened too, which is another nice thing. That doesn't happen often enough. And so we were able to get out there probably, I think a week or so after the sighting had taken place. And so we go out there and we bring all of our, recording stuff, you know, we've got our cameras and everything. And I had the radio on, you know, normally I wouldn't during investigation, but I figured, hey, they reported something specifically to do with their radio. So let's see how that goes. And so we've got our cameras and everything going on and we pull up to this intersection and I wanted to just recreate their route, exactly, basically. And so, you know, we go and we're driving back and forth through this intersection to sort of try to experience, you know, what they were experiencing, you know, during the sighting. And then, of course, hopefully to see if there's anything anomalous that we can witness. And I had to tell you now, I mean, obviously everything matched up to their description in terms of geography and everything like that. And we didn't experience anything weird while we were there. I was honestly pretty disappointed. Like the radio didn't do anything. I didn't see, you know, Mothman or anything like that. But after we got home, we checked that recording equipment, and there was this bubble around the intersection where everything would be recording normally, and we would pass this invisible line. And suddenly there's all this hissing and popping in all of our audio. And so we enter this invisible bubble and it, you know, everything starts hissing and popping and whatever. And then, you know, we move out of it and it just stops. And suddenly everything's recording just fine again. And we couldn't figure out why, you know, so we decide a couple of weeks after that we're going to go back and see if this is reproducible, you know, if this is something that we can replicate. And so we do the exact same thing that we did the first time. And sure enough, that weird radius, it's still there. And this time though, it's much, much quieter. Like that hissing and popping and everything, like it's present, but it's very, very subdued. And while we were out there, of course, like I'm looking around for anything at all that might be causing this. So, you know, looking for ham radio towers and giant satellite dishes and electrical transformers. And there's nothing that should be causing this. And so a year to the day, November 2021, we decide to go back one more time. You know, it's been a full year. It was the exact 1 year anniversary of their sighting. And we go back just to see if whatever this is still there. And we drive the exact same route and you know, we do everything just like we did. And we get back and there's nothing. The recording was pristine, you know, like there was no audio interference whatsoever. And so the only thing I could think of was there was some residual phenomenon like in that area, maybe as a result of that experience, you know, maybe as a result of this thing appearing, you know, because it never really made sense to me that something like Mothman, like this winged humanoid, right? From a biological perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It doesn't seem like it should be physically possible for it to fly. And it also doesn't seem like there should be any way that if this was an actual physical, biological, undiscovered species or something that just lived here all the time, that we wouldn't know about it, because it's huge and it flies. And in order for it to exist in the sort of numbers that it would take for it to actually like persist as a species, there would have to be enough of them that we would see them, you know? And so what always made more sense to me is that there's some paranormal, you know, aspect to that particular phenomenon.
Now, I'm going to wreck this for you. It could be other than paranormal, too. You know, we've had Michio Kaku on. I've had other scientists on the show. And, you know, again, I say this quite a bit. You know, according to these scientists, we're so close to cracking another dimension where portals could be, you know, exist. Parallel universes could exist. Maybe, you know, like you have the triangle off of Florida. You got one off of Alaska. Maybe. And then you also have scientists saying that maybe we're nothing more than a hologram or a computer program. It could be a glitch. And these things either are coming from a parallel universe or they're not real. They're a hologram. I don't know. What I do find is interesting, like on Mothman, virtually everybody I have talked to says that these things levitate before they start flapping their wings and fly off. So how could they do that?
That's a good question, you know, and it's pretty infrequent for a witness to report wings flapping at all, really. I do think you're onto something there, and that's where I was going with this, was that the what seemed like one of the likeliest explanations to me was that there was some other phenomenon present, you know, because it seemed like a window had been open at one point, and then it just slowly closed, you know. So whatever this was, like say it was a portal to a parallel universe or something, or it was some means of entry into our three dimensional universe from, you know, its fifth dimensional existence or something, and one of the byproducts of that was this weird EM field or some kind of weird, you know, energy or something that impacts electronic devices, then the radio glitching in that spot makes sense. Our audio equipment glitching in that spot makes sense. And if it was temporary, which it seemed to be because there haven't been any sightings since in that specific area, then it makes sense for it to, you know, have closed over time. And it seemed like it was relatively slow, but it certainly, you know, had closed. So, it's definitely an interesting, you know, phenomenon with a lot of possibilities. And I think probably more than almost any other single, you know, creature sighting, it probably involves the most, you know, sort of high strangeness, like mind-boggling effect, certainly much more than you'll get on average with, you know, Bigfoot or Dogman. Although, of course, you know, there is a similar phenomena reported alongside those as well.
Well, our time is pretty much up there, Tobias. Now, you have a book, or I don't know if you have more than one at this point, but you want to tell people about your books and where they can find them?
Sure. Yeah, I do have two now. My first book, The Lake Michigan Mothman, High Strangeness in the Midwest, came out in 2019. And that details, you know, everything involved in the Lake Michigan Mothman investigation up until that time. So it's a fantastic resource for anybody who wants to know about every single case, you know, up until when it was written and everything that went into the investigation at that point. And then I've got a follow-up, Strange Tales of the Impossible. And that does have winged humanoids in it, but it doesn't just have winged humanoids in it. You know, it's got a variety of seemingly disparate, but I believe possibly connected phenomena everything from ghosts and hauntings to UFOs to alien abduction to Bigfoot to, winged humanoids, and even weirder stuff, frankly. So those are all available, either on Amazon, like every book, or you can get them signed through our website. So if you go to singular40in.com/books, you can get everything signed by me. If you want me to vandalize your copy of the book for you, happy to do it.
Well, I just want to say so much thank you for coming on the show. Again, check out his books. And Tobias, watch out at night, will you?
You got it, Gary. Thanks.
Okay. You take care, my friend.
You too.
Well, James, we got some great guests lined up.
We do got some great guests lined up. Let me tell you, starting tomorrow with our Saturday show with Thomas Wertman hosting, he's going to have James Clarkson on. And let me tell you, James Clarkson is known as the UFO detective, and he knows his stuff. So that's going to be a great show.
And again, a little bit about James Clarkson, retired law enforcement officer. So, I mean, he's very credible. And then on Sunday, Bob Clark has a great guest. Who's he?
He has Brian Kano on. Now, Brian is very well known in the investigating of ghosts and other strange things. He was on the Haunted Collector TV show for 3 or 4 seasons. So he's going to be good. He's going to talk about some of the scary things he's encountered and some of the haunted objects that he's encountered also.
And then on the 21st on my show, I got Dr. Stephen Greer is back. We're going to be talking about UFOs, UAP. Somebody asked me the other day, what is a UAP? Well, it's a new term for UFOs. And he's going to be also talking about ETs and disclosure and what is going on and what is not going on. And then on the 22nd, Tuesday, we have Robert on. And he's a survivalist, a prepper, and he's going to share what we need. If anything, if we had the grid go down or a national disaster or just something happened in your area, he's going to tell us what we would need to survive to things clear up, hopefully. And then on the 23rd, who do we have?
We have Dr. Graham Lau on. Now, he is a professor and a doctor. And let me tell you something. He studies and looks for life out in the universe, not necessarily intelligent life, but, maybe biological or a little microscopic. But they're always looking for life and other strange things in space.
And then on the 24th, who do we have?
Oh, we've got Debbie Ziegelmeyer on. Let me tell you something. She has interviewed firsthand, face-to-face, many people that were witness to Roswell who have passed on many, many years ago. And she interviewed these people 20-plus years ago. So that's going to be great.
The 25th.
25th, we have Peter Hassel coming back on. Now, he is a stuntman by trade, but let me tell you something. He's from New Zealand, and he has researched UFOs, cryptids, and other paranormal stuff, but he's got the down under from New Zealand point of view, and they've got their own little cryptids and stuff, so that's going to be interesting.
It is going to be a great one. And then on next Saturday, Thomas Wertman has Jason Offutt, and he's going to be talking about monsters across the USA. Well, you better be prepared to be scared that night, because Jason Offutt has a book out. It breaks down every state what type of monsters have been sighted and reported. And then Bob Clark on that Sunday has a great guest. It's going to be about the Blair House. And what can you say about the guest?
Oh, Kristen Lee, she's going to be a fantastic guest. She owns the Bel Air House in Bel Air, Ohio, one of the most haunted houses, not just in Ohio, but probably in the world. I've actually been there, so I can say it's true. So that's going to be a great one. She's got many, many scary stories from that place.
Yeah, haven't I had her on my show at one time, I thought?
No.
No,
she's never been on. No.
Yeah, have you ever seen anything strange in that place?
Oh, my, yes. Yes, I have. I actually caught on film a cabinet up in the attic opening up the door and open clear up and shut on its own.
Gee, the scariest everything I ever saw in a haunted house is I seen the door open and the ghost of my ex-father-in-law was standing there with a hatchet. Now, that's not true. I don't even know why I said that. Well, you know, again, you know, check out our website. It gives all the guests now. I'm actually putting it a week and a half ahead, so you know we have the best guest in talk radio and the paranormal. Again, you can go to our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. If you want to get a hold of me, there's a fast blast there. You can just click on it. You can send me an email, you know, directly to me by clicking on that. We also have some videos on that covers everything from Bigfoot, UFOs, and even how to survive and make a house out of whatever out in the middle of the forest. So we got a lot of great things, and you can also watch the show from the day before on there too. So I mean, we've come a long ways on our website. We also have the bookshop where you can check out books and a whole bunch of other things. We got a store. You can check out our Night Dreams t-shirts, the Bigfoot mug. I've been selling a lot of those. A lot of those have been going out. And we just got another shipment in fact, yesterday. So they'll be going out. I tell you, it's really crazy. And if there's somebody you would like us to have on, again, use the fast blast. And, you know, tell me, who would you like to have on as a guest? And we'll do our best to try it. Chase him down. Now, a lot of people might not know who Mike Malcolm is. Well, he was on my friend's show, Art Bell. He actually supposedly 25 years ago made a time machine, and he would drop nails in it and screws into it, and they would disappear and come back 2 minutes later, a minute later. What happened is he got caught because he stole some transformers and went to jail for a while. But then he, you know, he pulled his act together. He made his time machine again. And what happened is he jumped off a ladder into the time machine zone. And next thing, he found himself 180 miles away from his warehouse. That's kind of strange, but he was 2 years in the future. So it took him a while to get his thoughts back, you know, like who he is, where he's from, and who, you know, where he is going. He worked his way back to the warehouse, and it was empty. And that's when he realized he transported 2 years in the future. So we might have him on in the near future. We're working on that. So, you know, if you like Night Dreams Talk Radio, make sure you tell your friends about us. Again, you can find us on every app out there. You can even watch me on YouTube, which is really embarrassing sometimes. Again, tell your friends about us. And if you don't give us a thumbs up, Guido is going to come and give you a cupcake some Saturday. Well, everybody, have a great one. Again, we had a great guest tonight, Jason Offit. Last night's show was great. We hit over 7 million listeners. I just love that. I love those numbers. And again, we don't own the night. We just bring it on. So everybody have a good one. We will catch you on the other side of the campground. And again, if you drop something late at night off your bed, do you actually reach under your bed with the light up? I don't know. We'll catch you on the other side. You take care.